Well, welcome back to This Week in the Association. I'm Rob Pannier, joined once again by my good buddy Kevin Lucco. And today we are honored to have the Commissioner of the American Association, Josh Schaub, join us. Josh, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Josh, a lot of excitement going on around the American Association with the season getting underway. But before we kind of get into questions, I just wanted to take this time to say thank you to you and the owners and to Josh Buchholz, because I think a lot of us thought this was going to be a summer without baseball, and we appreciate all the hard work that you put in to get this to occur.
Well, we appreciate that on behalf of American Association as a whole. We appreciate all the sentiments we've received since last Friday when we announced it. It was, in fact, a collection, a lot of hard work, and truthfully a lot of foresight and just a want-to and for the love of the game, really, in why and how this thing came together, because there's not a lot of economic upside for us this year, to be completely honest, operating with our hands behind our back. This is about doing it what's right for the fans and giving them the game of baseball.
Well, I want to ask you about that first, because I think a lot of people will look at this and think, well, they chose these three cities because, you know, state requirements and not having as many restrictions. But, you know, when I look at this, I think a lot of things had to really come together for you to make this work. And six owners deciding not to play and three owners being happy playing in another city and players and agreeing to play. A lot of things had to occur for this to go on.
Yeah, and just to clarify, it wasn't owners choosing that player. It was essentially owners agreeing that it wasn't tenable for them to join as travel teams. Because remember, 9 out of the 12 cities are precluded from actually hosting games with a significant amount of fans. So we were left with 3 host cities that could allow in an amount of fans where economically it started to make sense. And then as we looked at the economic models of adding just one more team to the hub city, 2 more teams, and 3 more teams, we really fell on the idea, or I guess the economic model, that only one team could be in any hub city. So the other 6 teams had to agree to that and allow that to happen.
Well, what was the kind of the discussion between the 12 owners about, everybody seemed to agree that this was the best possible model they could go with then?
I think the 12 teams all agreed the American Association could carry forward and carry the banner as a bridge heading into 2021 without all 12 teams. And I believe everyone thought that as long as we can create a safe environment within the states that allowed this to happen, this is in the best interest of the American Association.
Well, as you look at the season coming up, 60-game schedule, each team will play 42 games in their quote-unquote home stadium this year. What do you expect to see? You're getting a lot of players coming that are, you know, high AA, AAA, major league guys. What are you looking for, kind of the overall feel for the season this year?
Well, once again, I'll go back to the mantra that this is for the love of the game. And to your point about the talent level, it's going to be really interesting. Obviously, we ditched the classification system in an effort to give fans the best product possible this year. And we took, obviously, the 6 non-participating team rosters, had a dispersal draft, put those players on the existing teams for the 2020 season, which will obviously up the talent level. In addition to that, with the purging of minor league baseball, and not just at the rookie and single-A level, but really from the triple-A and double-A, those players need a place to play. And right now, we are the only professional league that, in the traditional league circuit, has announced that we're going to be playing. So we believe a lot of that talent will come our way. Even the current economic system and the way it's set up.
What are the safety measures that you're putting in place to ensure players, managers, umpiring staff that is kept safe this year?
The league has layers of protection. A lot of it is based on the localities. So the local team, whether it's Milwaukee, Fargo, or Sioux Falls, has worked with their local health department to create those layers of protection that are necessary. So they'll be masked, sanitization, social distancing, all the things you're seeing in grocery stores, restaurants, and other places that are allowed to open. In addition to that, we'll obviously have testing, players, umpires, and everyone involved.
Now, obviously, no host families this year. I'm assuming that's true. So everybody's staying in hotels or in their local home if they live in the area then?
And, you know, I would have to defer to either Fargo, Milwaukee, or Sioux Falls, but I believe host families are still in play. Those host families obviously chose to bring a player into their household. There's actually very few host families, I was told, in those 3 localities that turned down having their players. So host families are still in play. And yes, the visiting teams will be housed in the hotel.
Interesting. Very interesting. Kevin, you have a question you want to throw out there as the commissioner?
Yeah, with possibly being the only professional league running, have you had any onslaught of people from the media asking about the league that maybe you haven't heard from before?
Yeah, as you can guess, I did. My inbox was full. My Twitter direct messages were full from, you know, bloggers, newspapers, media in general, not just in our 12 American Association, but from throughout the country. And I even have a trade magazine that just called me about how we're going to even broadcast our baseball game. So I think, yeah, the world spotlight is on us at this point. Head of MLB announcing a deal, and we're taking advantage of it, getting our message and the brand of the American Association to as many people as possible.
And have you came out with what the broadcasting situation will be this year?
Yeah, we are going forward with the broadcast. It is going to be different from last year. There will be a local portal that each team will have. However, before I go into any details, there's a couple deals that are on the table that we're working on. So I'm not going to state exactly what our plans are yet because they may change in the next 2 weeks.
Great. Well, that's exciting. Exciting for sure.
Yeah.
As you, I know we only have a couple more minutes here, Joshua. I just wanted to ask you, I know you're really focused on getting 2020 going and all the hard work that needs to go to make that happen, but how do you see this impacting the six teams that aren't playing this year? And there was even talk about maybe even expanding into Texas in 2021 or 2022. Are those plans still even in play at this point?
Yeah, I feel very good about the six teams that aren't participating. I think around the table, you'll say that a lot of those teams are going to use this year to improve their operations, look at their ballpark and what they can do. And let's face it, heading into 2021, it's going to be a new world, and they're going to be able to learn from the six teams that are participating. So there's some advantages and some disadvantages of sitting out this year, but I feel very comfortable with all 12 teams coming back. Texas expansion is in the works. Obviously, COVID slowed a lot of things down, but yes, we are looking obviously at adding more Texas, really within the American Association geographic footprint.
That's awesome. Josh, we want to thank you for spending some time with us today.
No problem. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, gentlemen.
Well, we want to thank the commissioner for joining us again. But before we go, Kevin and I wanted to talk a little bit about stuff going on around the league. Kevin, a lot of big news over the last couple of days in terms of signing and releases. And so we're going to begin with the American Association champion St. Paul Saints. We're assuming, before we kind of jump into this, Kevin and I are assuming that there are some players who are just saying they're just not going to play baseball this year. So when we're looking at Saint releases today, Brady Shoemaker, Michael Lang, Daniel Minor, Dan Modell, just to name a few out of there, those are some big names that are being dropped by the Saints and probably just guys that aren't looking to play this year.
Right. I think in Shoemaker's case, I think he was pretty set on retirement after last year, and obviously he had the fairy tale ending with the league championship. I tell you what, with the other guys, we can't know firsthand, but I'm guessing it's a hybrid of COVID fears or guys that really just didn't want to, let's face it, when you think a road team, you think a team that, like, Gary Salshore was in their first year or out east with those teams that they even call Road Warriors. But let's face it, St. Paul is basically a road team this year. And it's not the greatest selling point to a professional baseball player. So it really doesn't surprise me that some guys opted not to play this year. So, you can't blame them. It's just going to make it such a tough sell job right now for George Samus. And, even for, like, Rick Forney and Bud Thompson in Chicago.
I do agree with you. I talked today with Mike Meyer on Cage Chat, and he mentioned that the Saints are likely going to stay at the Sheraton there in Sioux Falls. But, if you're a pitcher in particular, you're probably thinking to yourself, man, I'm going to make probably 7, 8, maybe 9 starts in the birdcage, which is kind of a tough place to pitch in. And if I'm a starting pitcher, maybe make 15 or 16 outings as a reliever. And that's a tough ballpark to be. Your ERA could take a serious beating this year, and you may just decide, You know, no, I just don't think so for this year. So I think that's got to be one part of George's job this year that's going to be real difficult to sell those starting pitchers. And Daniel Minor looks like he might have been a guy who thought, you know, I'll sit out a year.
Right, yeah. Some of these guys are probably just opting to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to get my work done on the side, pitch locally, you know, maybe in a summer league, or just working out wherever they go to do their pitching, and just figure that, hey, we'll pick things up in 2021.
The Saints, I guess, sold the contract, is the way to put that, of catcher Jeremy Martinez, who was the all-star catcher in the American Association last season, to, I think you say this as Monclova, I hope that's right, in the Mexican League. They signed...
I hope there's nobody listening from there if you didn't yeah, pronounce it right.
Yeah, I think I'm about to take a serious beating on Twitter later on. Chris Chinea, which I hope I'm saying that right as well, is the new catcher signed by the Saints, and that looks like, you know, not much of a downgrade by the team in any way.
No, and I believe, just kind of glanced at his baseball reference, I believe he also was in the Cardinals system, which I believe Martinez was too, and he put up really good numbers last year, so I thought that was an excellent find by manager George Sanderson. It could just be an example of guys that are out there right now with all the minor league releases.
In some big moves out there in Chicago, which in the dispersal draft on Tuesday chose 7 pitchers. We're starting to understand that a little bit. Left-handed pitcher Rich Mascheri is released. This might be a situation where he is choosing to just sit out for the year. But the big news, Luke Westfall's contract sold to Yucatan in the Mexican League there. And that, I mean, this guy was the best, you know, one of the 2 best pitchers in the American Association last season. So that's a big blow down there in Chicago, Kevin.
Right. Westfall was, he was literally unhittable for
a month.
As far as the season. Yeah.
I don't think he gave up a hit for 3 starts to start out with.
No, he wasn't getting deep in games, but boy, when he was in there, you weren't getting much done against him, so. American Association hitters got to be breathing a little sigh of relief there that they're not going to have to go up against that.
You know, Kevin, and I have to say is that this just goes to show what a manager, having a manager like Butch Hobson does for your team is. Now, you got to figure he knows that Mascheri is likely not going to be with the team, that Luke Westfall is going to be heading to Mexico. It's probably something he's known for at least a few days. So he goes out there and 4 left-handed pitchers were chosen out of that group of 7. And I think that shows that this is a guy who is a lot of times is 3 or 4 steps ahead of his opposition.
Right. And gosh, I mean, you can never have enough left-handed pitching as it is anyway, but to get 3 or 4 arms on all the draft like that is excellent if you can get at least 2 of them to actually come on in.
We talked a little bit about this with Jack Michaels on the show you can listen to from earlier today, but Fargo Moorhead, Jeff Broussard is released. Again, may just not be playing this season. They signed Tyler Wilson, or drafted Tyler Wilson on Tuesday, so it looks like the closer problem is not going to be an issue for the team.
No, we were kind of thinking what a 1-2 punch of Broussard and Wilson would be, but honestly, Broussard is out of the picture, and, you know, if Wilson chooses to play in Fargo, it's not going to be a good task to be trailing Fargo by a couple runs going into the ninth.
The big loss, I think, for them today was Yoshan Medina and Tim Colwell, both released, probably not playing this season. Both those guys who had such a huge impact, not only in the lineup, but defensively for Fargo Moorhead last year. And I'm thinking that might be the biggest loss of any of these releases that I'm looking at today, because these guys were just such a spark plug for that offense and played such great defense.
Yeah, Colwell was a spark plug in Atlanta along with Brendan Metzger at the top of the Redhawks order. And Medina, you can ask for a better glove up the middle. I don't know, where's Medina from? Is there a possibility that there was an issue with him being able to get in the country, or is he in the U.S.? I don't know.
That could be a good question. That's a really good question, too, Kevin. We haven't even kind of discussed that.
Well, whoever does the music up in Fargo, you better get Stranglehold by Ted Nugent into your song list, because that's a song that Wilson comes out to.
Well, hopefully there'll be plenty of fans to enjoy when he does. So
I asked Brett Allred about that because he's a wrestling guy like I am. I said, well, you know, Kevin Von Erich used to come out to Stranglehold. Is he coming in to pitch for the Railroaders? But, well, it's also shared by Tyler Wilson. So there's your bit of useless trivia right there for the day.
In Sioux Falls, they place four players on the reserve list. Now, Mike Meyer explained this a little bit to me today, is that the league is being more generous in this aspect in allowing the reserve list to be used to allow guys to get into to shape. Some guys aren't ready. So, Yudis Adrago, Cecilio Pimentel, Alvaro Rendon, maybe playing, but just aren't ready right now. And so, I think that it sounds like they're allowing for an expanded reserve list right now to allow these players to get into shape and then come and join the team later on. It's going to be interesting to see how managers use that. We've watched over the years, Kevin, where a manager will place a guy on that list for a while, wanting to use him later on the season. I'm thinking we could see, between six teams, we could see 35 guys on the reserve list to start out the year.
Yeah, it's very well possible. And for teams that have guys with travel issues trying to get into the U.S. too, you could be seeing them also be put on that reserve list. So, as we talked about with Jack Michaels, you could be seeing a taxi squad of sorts.
Very interesting observation, because we see Milwaukee put catcher Manuel Boscan on there as well. Pimentel and Adrago, I found kind of interesting there for Sioux Falls, because those were expected to be, you know, two of the top three guys in the rotation. So manager Mike Meyer kind of, you know, behind the eight ball a little bit to start out with.
Yeah, especially in that ballpark too, where, well, you're in the heat of the summer and that wind's going to be roaring from the south. Better have your pitching ready to go.
Absolutely right about that. Kevin, I don't know if you had a chance to look over the list of players that were not drafted on Tuesday that are technically free agents this year, but a couple of names did jump out at me. Fargo obviously grabbed one of those guys, which was catcher Blake Grant Parks out of Cleburne, who has big lively bat, can play third and left field as well. And now the catching thing, we talked a little bit with Jack Michaels about that. They have quite a catching group down there in Fargo, or up there in Fargo now. But a few names that really kind of jumped out at me right there that have had a lot of success and just weren't chosen this draft. Alex Boshears was one who has had a couple of off seasons, but I'm hearing is quite ready to go this year. There was Jesus Sanchez. I don't know if that's a visa issue or not, but we know he's a personal fan favorite there of the show, and we always love to add Jesus into the show.
Jesus Sanchez?
Exactly. Hunter Clannon was another one. Outstanding young outfielder, great arm, plays solid defense, little pop in his bat there. I think as we start to move along in the season, we're going to start to see some of these names come up. But I want to throw one name at you that if he's playing, I don't understand why at least a couple of teams wouldn't have gone after Kurt Smith. Veteran presence, great, you know, guy in terms of your locker room and a fan favorite wherever he's at. If this guy was playing, I thought, man, what an ideal pick he would have been for somebody.
Right. It's just a matter of what is Smith thinking too. Does he want to play anywhere but Lincoln? He's been with the Salt Dogs, I don't know how many years now. It's been
five or six. Yeah, at least five or six.
Right. And who knows? I mean, he might be looking at the next chapter of his life too, where maybe he's entrenched in the Lincoln area and doesn't really feel like moving on even for a summer.
That could be true, but boy, I thought he would be such a fun person to watch in, you know, Sioux Falls or Fargo or something there. So, Kurt, we love you. We hope that you're joining the show out there at some point. So, we'd like to have you back in baseball. Well, Kevin, I think that is covered.
Well, you know, you're talking about that, and I guess I'm looking at a guy like Angel Reyes, even with Cleburne, but that could also be a foreign travel issue.
I think it is.
You know, yet another Kansas City guy, and this guy will mention this guy is going to give me a pat on the head and an attaboy from Dan Vaughn, is Ramsey Romano.
That's a good pick, too.
The guy just showed up for a tryout and made the T-bone, stayed in a trailer all summer, can play second, can play third, can play short, he even pitched quite effectively. So, gosh, you know, talking about these places like Sioux Falls where you need extra pitching, well, gosh, a utility guy that can also give you some innings in the mound, and obviously, you know, as Josh Shoff likes to say, for the love of the game, how do you not love a game any more than Ramsey Romano if he's willing to just up and live in a trailer home just so he can play baseball? So I'd love to see Romano get picked up by somebody, too.
You know, another name that really leapt out at me, and I thought, this is the only possibility for this, to be honest with you, could be the guy just decided he didn't want to play this season. And that was Justin Sinibaldi. Guy led the American Association in ERA last season in Gary. And I'm thinking, well, what do you got to do to prove yourself after that? You know, he wasn't getting a lot of run support or anything like that. So, he's having a battle game after game, you know, in 2-1 and 3-1 ball games and stuff like that. And the guy still posted a 2.74 ERA. Well, I'm just thinking this guy must not be wanting to play this year because he would have fit in a lot of rotations out there.
Hard to say, too, if maybe he's got an arm problem, too. And, you know, we're seeing it with the major leagues. A lot of these guys that have had the nagging injuries, they've decided right now is the time to get those injuries taken care of. Instead of missing a full season, you're only missing a partial season. So, you know, we can sit here and speculate on guys all day, but without knowing their inside story, it stays exactly as that. It's just all speculation.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the majors, Kevin. Earlier today, it sounded like they were fairly close to working out a deal between the Players Association and Major League Baseball. That doesn't look to be the case right now. And as the commissioner spoke with us a little bit about there, this may be the only game in town, the only game out of the Lone Star State right now. And that has just got to be great news. But sad, I just don't think Major League Baseball players are up for a 50 or 55 game season, and I think that pretty much ends Major League Baseball for this year.
You know, you and I have been around for quite a while. We were kids during the 81 strike, and it was pretty crushing, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. I was plenty mad.
And 94, we were
that was even worse. That was even worse.
That's when we were big baseball nerds.
Yeah.
That's when, you know, draw a parallel here. 94, that was 1 year after independent baseball started again, and the boom in independent baseball was due in part to Major League Baseball shutting down in 1994. I can remember the season ending, but boy, I was going to games every night between the three independent league teams that were within a driving distance from me. Well, now, due to COVID and just a lot of bullheaded maneuvering from both sides, we're looking at a lost season again, and I just think independent baseball is going to be able to seize the advantage there, but boy, in general, talk about alienating a lot of your fan base. You know, Major League Baseball is already talking about that the average age of the fan is getting older and older. Well, I tell you what, not even having a league isn't going to be doing yourself any favors to little Johnny, who's 12 years old and wants to watch the ball game. So, not a good situation all around, but you know, you and I aren't in the whole labor negotiations part of baseball either. So,
and you know, and it sounds like from what the commissioner was saying is that this is going to be a great opportunity for the American Association. They're already getting a lot of media attention, and I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, three or four American Association highlights on ESPN's top 10 each night. So, And, you know, if the Major League Baseball really never gets off the ground at all, could we see a Sunday night in the American Association game on Fox Sports or ESPN? You know, Tim Kirkchen out there and some of these guys, and that could just be crazy. It could be that.
If I recall, did the minor league baseball still go even during the strike?
Yes, because you remember that was the year Michael Jordan was playing baseball, and ESPN was covering every one of his double-A games in 94.
I mean, there is a precedent there.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm thinking could MLB Network pick up games, but I don't know if they would be. Yeah, I'm just considering they're owned by MLB. I don't know if they would see that as a blow to themselves by picking up independent baseball games. But gosh, I would think some network would jump on it. Why not? And that's where I think, you know, it's important, and that's why I asked Josh about that, about what the plan is for the video streaming this year, because you're going to have a lot more eyeballs on the American Association. I think it's important to have a good video product out there, too.
Well, and I think you're talking about one of the most important aspects of this is that because there's going to be so many eyes, you're going to have opportunities that you clearly wouldn't have had before. And we should talk about this. I almost forgot about it before we headed out today, but we see the Milkmen got a new naming rights, after being routine field, last season and some kind of legal issue with that now they're going to have a new name to this year. And you got to believe that's kind of helped by the fact of they're playing baseball and there's going to be a lot of people looking at Milwaukee. So Ballpark Common Stadium coming up this year is, a big bonus for a team, some kind of organization looking to get a little bit more attention for themselves there at Franklin Field.
I see Franklin Field. I just think of Franklin from Charlie Brown, but that's just me.
Well, okay. But, Franklin Field, we're pretty excited about that. So, that's good. The team's getting a little money.
You got the alliterations. So, yeah, it rolls off the tongue good.
The double F. That's what we'd be calling it. We got to come up with a catchy nickname. The Frank. Are we going to the Frank? Is that what we're calling it or something? We'll come up with
the Mankato Moondogs for the Northwoods League, they're, ballpark is Franklin Rogers Field, and that's what they call it there. So, I mean, there's a precedent for calling it Frank.
Okay, so we might be the Frank this year. Okay, so that'd be pretty cool.
And they have the Frank on your menu.
That's right. The Frank. That's right. And it's kind of a jab at the, if we call it the Frank, it'll be kind of a jab at the Chicago Dogs. That you may have dogs, but we have Franks.
Ooh, yeah, good point.
So what about that? So. That's pretty awesome. Kevin, no better time, I think, right now because of all this good stuff going on than for you to give us an incredible final thought. Pressure.
It's time to get out of hibernation, folks. I know it's late, but I know all of us have been sitting in the house doing nothing, twiddling our thumbs, waiting for baseball to start. It's on its way, so get out there, get ready to sit in the sun, get some color. I know myself, my legs are quite ghostly right now. Not like good tanning options in the house. So I know it's a late start, but let's make up for lost time. Let's get out there, enjoy the summer, enjoy some baseball.
Especially in a place like Sioux Falls, which really needs to get some good fan participation this year. Come on out there and let's get some baseball in there. No offense to Sioux Falls fans, but let's get baseball going. Let's get out there and get excited this year. That's a great final thought. For Kevin Lucco, I am Rob Pannier, and we will see you next week on This Week in the Association.